Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians. We'll be in chapter 4 today, and particularly focusing on verse 30. But we are going to read verses 25 to 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 to 32. As we have been reading it and as we have been singing it, this is God's holy and inspired word to you, His people. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I'd like to ask you to go back to verse 30, and we're going to read that again. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let's pray. Father God, we do come to you now, Lord, thanking you for your word. What a precious gift it is, Lord, to us, your people, that you would accommodate to us. You, the one and only living and true God, who is high above all things, would stoop down and give us your word. Would give us your word in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us your word in written form. Lord, we know that this is a gift of love. So we thank you for it. And we ask, Lord, that you would use it now in the preaching of your word, that your people would hear it as coming from you and not from a man. And as much as it is spoken correctly and preached truthfully, you would use it by your Holy Spirit to lead us into truth, understanding, and holy living. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 30, the one we are looking at today, is right in the center of this passage of Paul talking about the new man and his actions and his attitudes and what the new man in Christ, what life looks like as a new man and the impact that it has on those in the body of Christ. In verses 25 to 29 that we looked at last week, he showed us how new man actions, how we walk, affects others. We are to be truthful people with each other because we are one body. And your truthfulness or falsehood affects the body that you are in. Then in verses 26 to 27, we saw that we are to be people who can be angry, of righteous anger, in control, and not letting the devil get a foothold in our life because of a lack of control. We are, in verse 28, to work and not to steal, so that we may help those who are in need. And then in verse 29, we saw that we are to speak edifying words, not corruptible, rotten words, so that we may be agents of grace to those who hear us. Now in verse 30, we see in a much greater way why we are to walk in new man attitudes and actions. Upon becoming a Christian, you are given so many blessings. You may recall the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." That's what happened to you when you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Blessed by God with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And then we saw in all of chapters 1, 2, and 3 how Paul presented in great detail the work of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit in God's plan for redeeming for himself a people. It is that work of the Holy Spirit that we come to again today in this letter from Paul. Christ and the Father have given to you the Holy Spirit. And the Scriptures are full of teaching about the Holy Spirit, who He is and what He does in bringing us to God. So we're going to look at some of those Scriptures as we look at our text today. In Ephesians 4:30, we are given the command to not grieve the Holy Spirit. That's what our sermon is about today. That you, the people of God, are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. It's not talking to the world. The world has no relationship with the Holy Spirit. But you do. You have been given God's Holy Spirit. And so to better understand what we are not to do to this person, we need to understand who he is and his role in our lives as the body of Christ that we are. So as we look at verse 30, we first will see the Holy Spirit Christ gave you is a person. The Holy Spirit that Christ gave you is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity of God. The Holy Spirit is God and is a person. Our confession states it this way in chapter 2, paragraph 3. In the unity of the Godhead, there be three persons of one substance, power, and eternity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And multiple scriptures support this teaching, such as when Jesus commissioned the apostles to go and do the work of God in Matthew 28:19, he told them to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you even see it in that blessing from God that we hear at the end of our services in 2 Corinthians 13:14, where Paul says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." These things speak of God the Spirit. They speak of Him as a person and as being part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit that you have been given is not a force. He is not a power. But He is a person. And He works to the glory of God in the lives of His people. He causes us to be born again to new life, as John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, where Jesus is teaching Nicodemus about salvation and about the Spirit, how a person is to be born again and comes into the kingdom of God, saying to him, he said, "You must be born of the Spirit." 1 Corinthians 2:10, God has revealed, tells us, but God has revealed to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. A force cannot search, but a person can. Romans 8:26 tells us the Spirit intercedes for us and helps us. And verse 27 of that chapter tells us, "He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is." A person can help. A person can intercede and think with their minds. Such is the Holy Spirit. He is a person that has been given to you for your help, to intercede for you, and to love you. Romans 15:30 teaches us that the Holy Spirit loves, saying, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Holy Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." The Spirit that Jesus Christ has given to you, His people, loves you. A force cannot love, but God the Spirit can. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 to 17, teaches us that we, the body of Christ, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in us. And so, that's not just the local church. It's the whole body of Christ throughout the whole world. And we are part of that. And so the Spirit of God dwells in us if we have Christ in us. Romans 12:5 tells us that this Holy Spirit has made us all members of one another. The Spirit that we have lives in us as a body. Yes, in you as individuals, but most importantly, as the body of Christ. A force cannot do that. Something as simply a power cannot do that. But a person can. And a person can be grieved. A person can be hurt. A person can have stress and distress put upon them. A person can be made sorrowful and sad. You would not say that about something that's just a force or a power. And certainly to grieve someone is to cause pain or distress or sadness. And the person of the Holy Spirit that Jesus has given to you, His people to dwell in you, can be grieved. And that's what Ephesians 4:30 tells us, that we are commanded to not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But there is something we have to work through here. If to grieve someone is to cause them pain, sorrow, sadness, or distress, then we have the ability to do that to God, to the Spirit of God. As we read in Ephesians or Hosea 11, verses 8 and 9, where it spoke of God's emotions in a very strong way, saying, "My heart is churning, my sympathy is stirred." But he was not going to respond like we would when that's happening. He says, "But I am not a man controlled by emotions or responding to them." You see, God does not change. And yet Paul is telling us here that he can be grieved. And so how do we reconcile those things? Well, let's first look and see the evidence of Scripture where it tells us that God does not change. In Malachi 3:6, he says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed." And James 1 verse 17 tells us, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." These verses tell us that God does not change in His being. He is who He is, and He is that way all the time. So how is it possible then that we could grieve Him? We can grieve Him. But we cannot grieve Him in the same sense that we are grieved. Just as we read of Scriptures oftentimes speaking of God having body parts, we know that God is speaking to us in a different way, in a way that helps us to understand how He responds to us. We hear the words in Scripture of things like the strong arm of the Lord, His right hand, or His eyes running to and fro looking for faithful people. And yet God has none of these body parts. But the Scripture speaks to us that way. And we read here in Ephesians 4:30, and it also says this in Isaiah 63:10, that God's Spirit can be grieved. I want us to realize that while God does not change, He declares to us that His Spirit can be grieved. And we need to take that to heart. Calvin explained the biblical descriptions of God having emotions as examples of divine accommodation to our human limitations, like nurses do with little children. In other words, God is speaking to us about Himself in a human-like way so that we may know and understand Him better and so that we can respond to Him. In these ways that God speaks to us about body parts and about emotions, they are all directed to us, so not that we may know just how He responds to us, but so that we may respond to Him. He, by His grace, speaks to us this way so that we can respond to Him. It is God's desire that you respond to Him. So He represents Himself to you as to one who can be responded to. He accommodates us. But in that accommodation, it is not a misrepresentation. You can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. God takes on the description of human parts and human emotions so that you who are human and have emotions can have a relationship with Him, can respond to Him. Just paraphrasing Paul Helm in his work, the impossibility of divine passibility. He says this, the grieving of the Holy Spirit is not an emotion of his being, but a change of treatment towards mankind from a human point of view. Our actions do not cause God to be changed in his being. But he communicates to us this way so that we will change. And that's what Paul is calling for here. When he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, he's saying, change how you are living. You need to change. And he's not saying this because it's not happening or doesn't have the potential to happen. He's saying it because it is and because it does. And we need to realize that it is and does happen with us as well. We grieve the Holy Spirit. The very Spirit, the gift of the Spirit that our Savior Jesus Christ promised to us, that he would send and not leave us as orphans, giving us his Spirit to live in us, to dwell in us, to teach us, and do all those things that the Scripture teaches us. This is what we have been given in the person of the Holy Spirit. That is a little bit heavy. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming that God says, and if you by faith believe it, that he dwells in you, in your person, by his Holy Spirit. As sinful as you are, God takes up residence in you, the body of Christ. And so the Spirit you have in you, you can also grieve. The Spirit that Christ gave you, and this is our second point, is holy and grieved by your sin. And what does it mean to then grieve the Holy Spirit? As stated earlier, to grieve someone is to cause them to suffer, to be distressed, or to be in pain. We know what grief is like. We experience grief, and we are grieved. And anytime we think about grief, we often think of someone passing in our life, somebody we love who has passed away, and it causes us great sorrow and sadness and pain to know that we won't see them again for a while. And so it's sorrowful, it's sad. And we grieve the Holy Spirit when we live in thought or deeds that are not holy. And that's our first clue, is how do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, he is holy. And so when we live in thought or deeds or actions that are not holy, then he is grieved. To be a little more specific about it, when we sin and we live in unholy ways, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. When we go against God's Word, we grieve the Holy Spirit. And it is here right now that we can make a long list of things whereby we grieve the Holy Spirit. But Paul does some of this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 to 32, and even also into the rest of the chapter. But these are just a sampling of those things. They are not exhaustive and they do not cover everything. But lying and stealing, unrighteous anger, rotten speaking, these things grieve the Holy Spirit. And when we not only do them, but seek to continue to do them and do not hear his voice when he calls us to repent, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. And then in verses 31 to 32, Paul goes on speaking of unkindness, hard-heartedness, having an unforgiving spirit, forgetting that Christ has forgiven you. These things grieve the Holy Spirit. These things are actions of the old man, not the new man, when we resist doing what Paul is calling us here. These are actions that do not reflect somebody who knows God, but someone who doesn't know God or the love of God. Romans 5:5 tells us, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See, not only does the Spirit dwell within us, but he has poured out the love of God in us. If you have the Holy Spirit, this is a reality. This is true to you. And the Holy Spirit who is dwelling with you grieves when you do not live in accordance with the love that he has poured out upon you. When we live that way, it is to say, Holy Spirit, you do not belong here. This is not the only reason for our sins against God and against each other, as they are listed here in Ephesians chapter 4. Yes, we do sin against each other, but we also, when we do and live this way that Paul is calling us not to, this old man way, we are sinning against the whole body of Christ. We are sinning against the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Your public sins and your private sins, contrary to what you might think, hurt the body of Christ. And the Spirit of God so loves the body of Christ that it grieves Him that you might live this way. It grieves Him that you would not love the body which He loves. You would not love the body which is connected and united to the head, which is Christ. To see the members of the body hurting each other with lying and stealing, anger, unkindness, and unforgiveness grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves Him. And Paul, brothers and sisters, is ramping up our understanding of what it is to live out the life of a new man. He is telling us of a consequence that's even greater than some of the things he's already listed. Not only does it affect the body of Christ, it grieves the Spirit that lives in the body of Christ. What a gift it is to have the Holy Spirit. What a gift it is. You know, there are other moral and ethical systems throughout the world. There are other religions that teach people how they are to live. But it is only through Christ that the people who are in Christ, who have been given the Holy Spirit. The other ones don't even claim to have the Holy Spirit, for the most part. But you, God's people, have been given His Spirit. What a gift He has given to us to teach us, to convict us of sin, to assure us of salvation, to cleanse us with the washing of regeneration, to comfort us in our times of grief, and to rejoice with us in our times of joy. That's who we have in this gift of the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 51, the psalm that we just sang, the thing that concerned David about his sin is that God would take away this Spirit from him. Now we know that David was in a covenant relationship with God and had faith in God. And so we know that David knew that God would not leave him or forsake him forever. But David did not want the Holy Spirit to be taken from him even for a moment. Is that your desire? David did not want this grieving of the Spirit in which he caused in his sin to keep going on and risk the Spirit of God not to be taken from him, but his presence to be not known, to not know the Spirit's work in his life. He knew that he would be with God forever, but he did not want to miss the work of the Holy Spirit. Not even for a moment. And it is true for us. It is not that when we grieve the Holy Spirit that He leaves us completely. But if we are grieving the Spirit, it will feel that way. If you are grieving the Holy Spirit because of your sin and unrepentant sin, it will feel like the Spirit of God is not with you. By purpose. By design. That God will withdraw His presence from you in a sense, His manifestation of His presence, to let you know that He is being grieved, to let you know that there needs to be a change in how you are living, to let you know that you're not living in the reality of the new man, life in the new man, but you are living as if you were that old dead man whom you were to be putting off. We can notice then that all these actions listed in verses 25 to 29 and 31 to 32, they are actions involving our relationship to each other. They are actions that involve relationships within the church, within the body of Christ. Relationships with each other as people who are your family and people who are not your family. So I say this to you, husbands, are you kind and tender-hearted and forgiving to your wives. Just as Christ is kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving to you. Wives, is this true of you as well? We may think that grieving the Holy Spirit is only when I sin against other people in the body of Christ, but it's right in our own homes as well. Because these people are part of the body of Christ. So often we can overlook that. Parents, can you say that these words characterize your life with your children? Being truthful, being kind, being tender-hearted and forgiving. Are you a new man kind of parent? Because if you're not, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Children, what about you? Are you a new man kind of young person? Are you obeying your parents in the Lord in all these things? Are you treating your siblings in the way that God calls us to here? Kind, speaking kind words and speaking grace. Forgiving and seeking forgiveness. Are you a new mankind of young person? You see, the Holy Spirit dwells in new mankind of people. He dwells in new man people who, though they may fail in these things, they are ready to repent of their old man ways when they've been walking that way. How have you been walking in these relationships? New man or old man? Because if you're walking in the old man way, you are grieving the Holy Spirit. And Paul is instructing us, commanding us to not grieve the Holy Spirit. But if you do grieve the Holy Spirit, if you are, even now, grieving the Holy Spirit, repent towards the Holy Spirit. Repent towards your brother or sister. Repent towards your husband or wife. Repent towards your parents or your children. Repent towards brothers and sisters in the church. If you are, in fact, walking in the old man way. And if you have been sinned against by someone in the church, by someone in the family, and someone is repenting, then do not grieve the Holy Spirit by withholding forgiveness. Verse 32 tells us to forgive one another even as God in Christ forgave you. See, to be forgiving is to remember that you have been forgiven by Christ. And it is the Spirit of Christ that works that attitude of forgiveness in your heart. When walking in this way, we do not grieve the Holy Spirit, but we make Him glad. We turn Holy Spirit sorrow into Holy Spirit joy. Which side of that coin do you want to be on? Walk in the new man way and grieve not the Holy Spirit. And I know that is heavy stuff to think about. If you're paying attention, it should be heavy. Because God is calling your attention to something that is very, very important. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So weighty is such a command like this that it could cause despair. It could cause us to lose hope. But we are not only given the Spirit to help us walk in new man ways. We are given the Holy Spirit to assure us of salvation. And that's how Paul finishes verse 30. Listen to verse 30 again. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That's our third point. The Spirit Christ gave you is holy, is grieved by your sin, and keeps you until the day of redemption. As sure as the Spirit of God calls us to not grieve the Holy Spirit, to grieve Him in our sin, He lets us know that He will not leave us or forsake us. He will never let us go. And while He may withdraw His blessings for a time, while He may withdraw His evidence of being with you for a time, depending on your sin and depending on the level of it, depending on your unrepentance, and how long we remain in that sin, while He may withdraw for discipline to let you know that you are grieving Him, He will never leave you or forsake you. You have been given the Holy Spirit as a seal and a guarantee. Listen to what our confession says about this issue. In chapter 18, paragraph 4, saying this: true believers may have the assurance of their salvation diverse ways shaken. You may have the assurance of your salvation shaken, diminished, and intermitted, as by negligence in preserving of it, by falling into some special sin which wounds the conscience and grieves the spirit, by some sudden or vehement temptation, by God's withdrawing the light of His countenance, and suffering, allowing even such as fear Him to walk in darkness and to have no light. What I just read to you is a description of how God responds to you when you may be grieving the Spirit of God. When you are living out of step with the new man and living in unrepentant sin, such as lying and stealing and speaking rotten things and unkindness and being unforgiving towards others, you may find, if you are living in that way, that though you may very well be a child of God and have His Spirit, He will withdraw the manifestation of His presence with you. But He will never leave you forever. And that's what the rest of the paragraph in this chapter says, in chapter 18, paragraph 4, speaking of true believers who are in that state of maybe having grieved the Spirit of God and lacking assurance of salvation. It says, yet are they never utterly destitute of that seed of God and life of faith, that love of Christ and the brethren, that sincerity of heart and conscience of duty, out of which, by the operation of the Spirit, this assurance may in due time be revived, and by the which in the meantime they are supported from despair. We need to know that. We need to know that the Spirit of God, which has been given to us, has been given to us for a time, from the time that it is given to you until the day of redemption. That is the promise of assurance. That is the promise of the gift of Christ, that when He gives you His Spirit, when that happens, He will not take it back. He will not leave you as an orphan. You may have grieved the Spirit of God by your sins. You may not sense His presence in your life during that time in which that's going on. But if you have been given the Spirit of Christ, do not despair. The Spirit that has been given to you will not be taken away. It is a seal. It is a guarantee of God's work in your life. The guarantee that God will save you. The guarantee that you have till the day of redemption. The day when Christ returns for His bride, you will be with Him. And you see, this sealing of God is not all about you. It is for you, in the sense of God giving to you His Spirit. But it is a pledge from God that those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, He will save. It is a covenant pledge from God in giving you His Spirit. And if He were to break that pledge, then He would not be God. He would be a liar. And God is truth, for God cannot lie. This is your assurance. If God has given you His Spirit, you will have it all this life through the day of redemption when Jesus Christ returns. It may be times when it doesn't feel like it because of your sin. There may be times when He withdraws His manifestation or His work in your life because you continue in sin, and He is doing that to call you back. But He will never leave you forever because God has made that covenant pledge. The Spirit of God dwells in His people to seal us to the day of redemption. It not only seals us, but it seals God to keep His promise. What God says, He will do. And this is what He said. This is also not all about you in another way. It does seal you into the day of redemption, having God's Spirit. But the day of redemption is so much bigger than we think. It is so much bigger than just our transformation and going to heaven. On the day of redemption, all Christ's enemies will be made His footstool. On this day, all Christ's people, His body, will be done with sin. On this day, all Christ's glory will be restored to Him, and He will have His people with Him in glory, in His glory. It's not about you just dying and going to a different place, a better place. When Christ returns, all these things happen. This is the day of redemption. And if you're just seeing when Christ returns, we get to go to heaven, you're missing a whole lot of things. You're missing a whole lot of what God is doing. This day of redemption is the day of the Lord. This day is the day in which your faith, though it is being tested now by fire, will be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you're sealed to this day. The Spirit has been given to you to be that guarantee. So do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, which has been given to you as a seal to this great day of redemption. Repent of grieving the Holy Spirit and be forgiven. Do not continue to live in the old man way and thereby grieving the Holy Spirit. Repent. Ask the Lord to show you. Because I can almost... Well, I won't say that. Let me say that it is likely that when we sin, the first thought in our mind is not, I am grieving the Holy Spirit in me. Honestly, do we think that way? When we treat others in an unkind way. We often think, well, I shouldn't have treated them that way. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. For when we sin and when we continue in sin, we are grieving the very Spirit of God. Repent of grieving the Holy Spirit and be forgiven. Have that assurance of your salvation restored. And this is what the Holy Spirit of God wants in you. He wants you to know He is a person. He wants you to know He is God. He wants you to know that He dwells in you. And that when you sin and continue in sin and do not listen to His call to repent, that you grieve Him, that you make Him sad, that you cause Him pain. That's what He wants you to know. He also wants you to know that so great is His love for you, so great is God's word and the truth, and that He has been given to you as a promise, as a seal, as a guarantee, that if you have His Spirit, you will always have it. And you will be saved to the day of redemption, to the Lord's day. This is what the Holy Spirit wants in you. As David pleaded to God in Psalm 51, verses 10 to 12, he said this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." Is that what we're thinking when we sin? When we grieve the Holy Spirit? Thanks be to God for giving us His Holy Spirit. May the Lord help us to not grieve this precious person and gift that we have been given. May the Lord help us. Amen. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, as we read your word and hear it preached, we see, Lord, how heavy and weight a task this is to not grieve your Holy Spirit that you have placed in us, your people, the body of Christ. And so, Lord, we are dependent upon you once again for strength by your Spirit in the inner man, we ask. Strengthen us, Lord, that we would walk in new man ways and not grieve your Holy Spirit. Encourage us, Lord, with the promises that if we have your Spirit, it is a seal to the day of redemption, to the day of the Lord's return, when Jesus Christ will be revealed. So, Lord, call us to repent and call us to joy upon repenting. That our relationship with you has been restored. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.